We want to talk about one other thing that's missing besides casualty numbers from Libya, and that is the assets of Muammar Gaddafi. The man had anywhere, he was valued at anywhere from $600 million to even more when he was killed. But at this point, the search continues for what happened to his assets. We're joined now by Mohammed Shaban. He's one of the attorneys working to track down the Gaddafi family's British assets, and he joins us from London. Mohammed, how many places could Gaddafi have had assets stashed?
Well, if we are considering the situation in the United Kingdom, the assets can be divided into two. Those that are in the name of the Libyan state controlled by Colonel Gaddafi. Well, we know that Her Majesty's Treasury value those at around 12 billion. Fortunately, most of those have been under sanctions and were quite well protected. The other aspect of the assets for which valuation is very, very difficult are those assets enjoyed by himself and his offspring, which are registered in the name of all sorts of obscure offshore vehicles. And a figure for that is quite difficult to determine. We are trying to do lots of detective work, and slowly we are uncovering some assets.
And one of the assets that has been uncovered by squatters is a $16 million house on London's Millionaire Row. And there have been people living in it since March. And this is protesters, I guess, called Topple the Tyrants. Why are they squatting inside this house?
Well, OK, that is quite an interesting story. When it broke out, you're right, squatters did move in and set up base there as Topple the Tyrant. Subsequently, what happened, the squatters or Libyan citizens moved in to protect the building while the legal case is going on to transfer the title to the property from the current owner, which is an offshore trust, for the benefit of Saadi Gaddafi, to transfer title to that to the name of the state of Libya. And in the meantime, there are what is called in the trade here in the UK friendly squatters looking after the building while the case is going through the courts.
How does one track down these assets? And then could his remaining family still stake a legal claim to them and prevent those assets from being seized by whatever government finds them?
You're absolutely right. I mean, the problem is twofold. One is tracking down the assets. As I said, most of these assets are registered in the name of offshore obscure trusts with nominee directors and shareholders. Now, if one does enough detective work, hopefully, with the cooperation of the state where the offshore trust is registered, one can find who the beneficial owner is. The second trouble is, after identification, is proving to the courts, responsible for the jurisdiction of those assets, is proving to those that those assets belong to the Libyan people rather than to that individual. And to that end, we need to show that the source of the funding for the acquisition of those assets were Libyan state funds, which were misappropriated by Gaddafi or his children and misused for personal gain.
If you had to venture a guess, any idea worldwide the total value of Gaddafi's assets, both in cash and in properties?
It's very, very difficult. I mean, we're finding properties almost every month now. There is we've unearthed at least two here in the UK, one multi-million pound one in Toronto. Unsubstantiated rumours, there are assets also in the US used for personal gain. But also don't forget that even assets that were in the name of the state, they were in effect controlled by Gaddafi and his family, and they run into billions.
That's Mohammed Shaban, a lawyer trying to track down the assets of Gaddafi and his family. Thank you so much, Mohammed.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.